Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Well, we are going to the border. We have to deal with what's happening at the border. There's no question about that. That's not a debatable point. But we have to understand that there's a reason people are arriving at our border and ask, what is that reason? And then identify the problem so we can fix it.
Just quickly put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned that because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this, but Democratic Congressman Cuellar has a border district has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border. I'm in Guatemala because my focus is dealing with the root causes of migration.
Oh my gosh, awkward much? Hi, awkward much? And I haven't been to Europe. I wasn't in Europe either. I wasn't there. Jiminy Christmas. We're all going to take a big, big breath today. All of us.
I haven't been to space.
I haven't been there either.
What's your point?
Yeah, like I oh my gosh. How are you Lester Holt at this point?
I know.
How are you Lester Holt? Oh my. God grant me the serenity today. I don't remember the rest of it, how that goes. Just grant me the serenity to not kick anybody in the neck. All right. Welcome to the show. Kane, what the hell day is it today? Welcome to the show, everybody.
It's Tuesday.
You know how like I joke and I'm like, we're going to get through this week together. No, I'm going to jump on y'all's back and you'll just carry me to the rest of it. Oh my gosh. It's good to be with you guys though. Happy Tuesday to you. We're all powering through. And this was after her, oh my gosh, where do I even start? Because this was after, so she went to Guatemala and didn't get the best reception from actual Guatemalans. I don't know if you guys saw any of that, but there were people like that had the signs up and they were none too pleased with the birthing person who is the vice president. Oh, we'll talk about that later. I did put that on the sheet, right? I had to deal with a lot of stuff this morning, so I hope that I remember to put that on the sheet while I was juggling a million plates. Like every other mother. No, but she's out there. She's in Guatemala. She's greeted with all of these signs that clearly people don't like her. And what's crazy is that the Guatemalan president actually blames her and Biden. I almost said Vice President Biden. I kid you not. I swear to you, I almost did. I actually legitimately, not on purpose, almost did say that. Because why isn't he down there? Why is she going and meeting? Again, this is another president, Joe Biden's foreign counterpart. Why is he not down there meeting with? I mean, I don't understand this anyway. So this interview was just a disaster. I'm not quite sure how Lester Holt sat there and didn't say, well, we're not talking about Europe. Are we got a problem? We got a problem with French people sneaking. Well, I mean, maybe in like Quebec. But do we have a problem with Germans sneaking across the border? I mean, I didn't realize that. They were that close. You understand geography, don't you, Mrs. Birthing Person? I
mean, she was in Guatemala. Where are they going to cross to get into the United States?
So this, That was just a horrible interview. I'm not, it's just not an, on any account, not a good interview at all. And the as I said, the Guatemalan president has blamed Biden-Harris. In fact, those, as the protesters were telling Harris, Trump won, because that's literally what they said. Kamala, go home. Kamala, mind your own business. Kamala, Trump won. That's, these are the signs that they had. They had protesters that were everywhere, apparently, where she went. And the president, Alejandro Giametti, he's spoken quite harshly of the new administration's immigration policy. Specifically, he was talking about the Remain in Mexico policy, et cetera, et cetera. He goes, we've asked the United States to send more of a clear message to prevent people from leaving. How are you going to sit here and act as though, and I can understand how he might be angry with this. How are you, as the president and vice president, going to act as though the problem with immigration comes from these countries when these countries' presidents have been demanding that you stop telling everyone that the border's basically open? When you send actually a clear message that says you can't be coming and trying to get across the border and risking your life and the life of your child or your children. This is a total 180 from the stuff that she had, by the way, for her campaign rhetoric. She's talked about people entering the border. I mean, this was like she had said at one point, this was January 29, 2017, quote, say it loud, say it clear. Everyone is welcome here. Hashtag no ban, no wall. She was against deportation. I mean, when you looked at the Biden-Harris campaign and when you read everything that they've written about immigration, everything that she said when she was speaking, can we play this Don't Come audio? Everything that she said in this audio when she was talking about Don't Come, this is complete opposite. It's a total and complete opposite of everything that she had said up until this point. Listen to this.
And I want to emphasize that the goal of our work is to help Guatemalans find hope at home. At the same time, I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
Completely the opposite. I'm looking at their website of everything that they had. It's a complete opposite of everything that they had pushed for. They wanted to rescind all and any bans. They wanted to rescind all and any deportations. They wanted to rescind... protect opportunities for people who take that trek and make the journey to come to the border. I mean, completely the opposite of what they had talked about all throughout the campaign leading up to this. I had someone say to me the other day, and I know that they weren't trying to be a jerk, but I disagreed with them. They had said, "Well, don't you think we should give credit where credit is due?" Like, what credit? What are you talking about? Give credit for what? For the fact that she did a total 180. If there was a Republican that would have said what she just said with the Don't Come stuff, she would have been assailed as a racist. She would have been, where do you start? She would have been called a racist. She would have been called a bigot, a number of other things. In fact, when she was talking about coyotes in her remarks, she had made some remarks yesterday. We don't need to play it. She just said one thing about it. Do you remember when Trump, in a speech that he gave where he mentioned coyotes and the media went wild and actually had said that can you believe that he actually thinks dogs are carrying people over the border, which is totally not at all what that means. And anybody who knows anything about immigration knows this. You had a bunch of people who have no idea about immigration who were going to sit here and weigh in on accurate terms that not only cartels use, but Border Patrol uses. I mean, it is quite something. It is quite something. And the back and forth, the back and forth of all of this, and the rhetoric. I'm like, give credit for what? Give credit for the fact that she's saying something now that she had was a complete 180 from what she said previously. She was holding this press conference. Play this 50-second bit that I put in there when she was. This was when she was having the press conference with the Guatemalan president. It's Kamala Harris's VP and then versus Kamala Harris's senator. This is just 2, like 3 years ago. Listen. Hold on. Where'd you send this? This is here, or you can just pull it. I'll play it in Slack. Just put on my volume, and I'll deal with it. Listen to this.
Be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
So that's her VP.
We have always presented ourselves as being a nation of strength with strong arms, that when people are fleeing harm, we will embrace them. But look at what has happened with this administration. There are children who are fleeing murder capitals of the world. Let's be clear about this. Imagine a mother who makes a decision to pay a coyote to transport her child across the entire country of Mexico, facing unknown peril. She does that because she believes for that child to stay where they are is worse.
Total opposite of what she said. Senator versus vice president. Pretty unbelievable. Pretty unbelievable. Oh, goodness. So, no, I mean, credit for what? Credit for the fact that she's not at all whatsoever being held to account? For being a total 180 on this? That's what it is? I mean, being held... credit where? And then when she's asked, are you going to visit the border? Oh, shrugs. Guatemalan president tells her, well, you need to leave a clear message to prevent more people from leaving. Because she hasn't. Neither has Joe Biden. Joe Biden's the president. He should know better. Some of the other stuff that we've got as well for you. Biden and Harris don't even agree on this. They've released the secret IRS files. Did you guys see this? ProPublica, a lefty website. Somehow, God, I think it's hacked information. They got IRS files on a bunch of people, and they've been putting it all over Twitter. I was suspended for a couple of days from Twitter because I shared a New York Post piece that was on completely legitimate information that was not received from, that was not obtained through hacking. But it just had to do with Joe, it had to do with Hunter Biden. And I and a lot of other people had our accounts suspended. But here you have ProPublica. They have all of this IRS information, private information on people, and Twitter will not, they won't suspend them. I've had, about a million followers deleted since the beginning of this year. My account's throttled. You don't even see my tweets on Twitter anymore. It's just like screaming into the ether. And I bring this up because progressives are so terrified of a strong female conservative opinion that they tuck their male copulatory organ between their legs and they go hide in a damn corner because they're so terrified that someone's going to say something that may rock their precious, fragile narrative. And so they have to completely strangle your voice out on social media. So it's just unbelievable that this is allowed to go on, that this is allowed to be shared. We're going to get into all of this and a lot more. We're also going to talk about the latest with national security because, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, they had the funds in the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack. Those funds were seized, but there are no arrests. We have that for you. Joe Biden wants to erase women. Wait until you hear this, because in official documents, he's talking about birthing people. And I'm amazed at this, because doesn't that erase the accomplishments of the first vice president birthing person? I'm just curious. So we're going to get into all of that. I got some media malpractice and a bunch of stuff, so you don't want to miss a single bit of the program today. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So we apologize for the technical difficulties here. We had we were playing some audio and the Radio America studio was not set up to accommodate that. So we'll make sure that that doesn't happen again if I have to fly out to D.C. and fix it myself. GOP chair expects former Nevada AG Adam Laxalt to run for Senate. This, according to the Associated Press. Adam Laxalt, as you remember, was running for governor last time. He ended up being beaten by, a Democrat, a very anti-gun Democrat, in fact, as well. And it ended up, the whole state ended up flipping blue. It was just really, really bad all the way around. So now the Senate Republican political arm say they expect the Nevada AG, former AG, to challenge Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada next year. So that'll be a very interesting Senate race to watch. You're going to want to keep an eye on that. That's going to be probably a slap fighty as what you're going to see in Missouri's primary. Washington State is giving free marijuana to people who will take the coronavirus shot. It's literally a pot shot. It's a pot shot. I can't believe until this actually happened and fomented in reality how badly I wanted to say that. It's an actual pot shot. Did you know that? And this is really sad because Japan actually may have to cancel the entirety of the Olympics. According to Japanese media and Daily Mail, the senior Japanese Olympic Committee official, he passed away. He jumped in front of a subway train in Tokyo because the whole city is deciding whether or not they're going to go through with the games. The games are next month. Don't you love those last minute decisions that wreck everything? It's crazy. And apparently there are stiletto Crocs. I hope an asteroid hits the Earth. Stiletto Crocs in the club. Whoever thought that these girls would get?
The cartels are taking advantage of the border crisis. Kids are still being used as pawns, and there's a good chance it's about to get a whole lot worse. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll explain the human misery I saw along the border this week. And Lieutenant Christopher Olivares of the Texas Department of Public Safety joins me to discuss the criminal elements pouring into the U.S. The Biden administration wants to ignore all of this, but we won't. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
We have always presented ourselves as being a nation of strength with strong arms, that when people are fleeing harm, we will embrace them. But look at what has happened with this administration. There are children who are fleeing murder capitals of the world. Let's be clear about this. Imagine a mother who makes a decision to pay a coyote to transport her child across the entire country of Mexico, facing unknown peril. She does that because she believes for that child to stay where they are is worse.
So that was the audio soundbite that we played. Steve is in a different studio right now, so it's not his issue. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash, danalash.com. It's that kind of a day for a number of reasons. So that's, I mean, it very much is a 180, it's a total 180. And I'm tired of the people who are like, well, you know, shouldn't you give credit when people agree? It's not about giving credit where people agree. Do you realize that simply by saying it would be great if people follow the law that you were called a bigot? But why is it that this girl, this birthing person gets a pass? Yeah, it's vice president birthing person. Isn't that right? Because Joe Biden, that's how he was, you know, you find that disrespectful? Because that's literally in the vice president's language in the budget. You didn't know that? Oh, I thought that they knew that. Yeah. Huh. Fascinating. Thought that they knew it. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. Something else. Speaking of some of the policies and some of the, because we get the budget language coming out, we've got all this other stuff. I have to share this tweet. The president had tweeted this. He said, "I'm working hard to find common ground when it comes to the American jobs plan, but I refuse to raise taxes on Americans making under $400,000 a year to pay for it. It's long past time that the wealthy and corporations pay their fair share." So let's address this, shall we? Because here's the fact check on this lie from 2019. Joe Biden had said this during the campaign, and factcheck.org, which is far from a conservative organization, had to fact check him because he was lying. In fact, it's the top 1% of taxpayers that pay a higher effective tax rate than middle income people. 1,011% contrary to what the president says. In fact, you have the top 1% that pay more than the 90% combined in tax. And that's according to factcheck.org, August 14th, 2019. And they quoted Joe Biden during a campaign stop saying on August 8th the exact same thing that he had just tweeted, although this time it was just stuck in as a sentence towards the end of his pushing on the multi-trillion dollar American jobs plan. Here's something else that's quite interesting as well. The $2+ trillion jobs plan actually reduces overall employment. The $2+ trillion infrastructure spending. In fact, this is something that came over at there's a couple of different places. This is the Foundation for Economic Education. And there's also Americans for Tax Reform. Then there's, of course, just the bipartisan BJS, et cetera, et cetera. His $2+ trillion in infrastructure spending, which contains mostly just like garbage. It contains mostly garbage. You have this $2 trillion, quote unquote, infrastructure spending includes things like billions of dollars to create a, quote unquote, civil climate corporation. Did you know this? $10 billion. It's all going to be putting together a little army of Americans to work on climate and to boost climate and climate awareness and on public lands and community resilience for climate, whatever the hell that word salad means. And then, of course, you have $20+ billion that goes towards, quote, advancing racial equity and environmental justice, more than the latest coronavirus package, more than we spent on vaccines, that we are going to be spending in this $2+ trillion quote unquote infrastructure plan for programs that reconnect neighborhoods cut off by historic investments. You mean like the urban renewal project is part of Lyndon B. Johnson's total destruction of black neighborhoods by organizing highways and everything this way? That was the Democrat plan. So Joe Biden wants to offset Democrats' racist mistakes by charging the taxpayer more than we paid for vaccines for coronavirus. $20+ billion more. Is that what I'm to understand? Or what about $175 billion in subsidies for electric vehicles? I'm totally fine with electric vehicles. If you love electric vehicles, good for you. You get a medal in heaven, I'm sure. The angels are applauding you. I know that people who, it's like the same people who eat keto. They're like, "I eat keto. I drive an electric vehicle." No one gives a rat's ass, but good to you all the same. $175 billion in subsidies for electric vehicles, right? $174 billion in subsidies, because if it can't be successful on its own, then make sure that it latches like a vampire onto the taxpayer teat. Correct? Correct. So, again, I'm all fine with electric vehicles. I just think that it needs to be self-sufficient and self-sustaining. $213+ billion to retrofit 2 million houses and buildings, according to some Willy Wonka type of climate sustainable garbage. That has nothing to do with any kind of infrastructure spending. Over $100 billion for new public schools, making school green lunches greener. So if you want to have a discussion about infrastructure, we're not talking about spending $100 billion on like the things that count. It's going to be this climate retrofit on schools and then making lunches suck out loud. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll solve your lunch problem. Do you want kids to eat lunch? You want them to eat lunch? You give them macaroni and cheese. You give them broccoli with cheese. You give them some pizza. you know what? They're kid. You can still have kids eat healthy, but you want to be able for kid. You want to have kids carb up so that they can learn during the day and get their athletics and everything else done that they need to do after school. Okay. If you want to impose some kind of weird diet on kids while they're in school, do it when you're in home, but not when they're there in the afternoon, sitting down and just trying to eat their damn pizza and live their life. Back off, Karens. So you have $12 billion for community college infrastructure. They're going to spend this on community colleges. I thought tuition already did that, but hey, maybe we're overpaying for no reason at all. Billions to eliminate racial and gender inequities in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. This is absolutely not at all explained in here. Like, we don't even have like an actual estimate. It's just billions. We just know it's going to be billions. $100 billion to expand broadband internet so the government can control it. So for everyone who thinks, oh, that's great, the government's going to be, you know, spending money and doing some investments on this, they're doing it so that they can control it. Recognize the pimp when you see it. Also, $25 billion for government child care programs, $25 billion to upgrade child care facilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As the daughter of a single mother who worked three jobs, don't sit here and tell me that no woman can't take care of her child without the help of Uncle Sam. That's sexist. Sit the hell down, Kyle. That just gets to the very, very tip top of it. So that's all the stuff that is not infrastructure in the $2 trillion Willy Wonka Oompa Loompa plan that he's pushing out there. But yet he has the audacity, since most of this is going to be funded by that hated 1%, if we're going to embrace the warm glow of Marxist hatred when we talk about budget and economics, that's going to be paid mostly by who? The top 1%. That's what's going to happen. So you have Joe Biden out there tweeting, as I said originally, quote, this was 2 hours ago, ladies and gentlemen. He says, I'm working hard to find common ground with Republicans when it comes to the American Jobs Plan. I refuse to raise taxes on Americans making under $400,000 there to pay for it. It's long past time the wealthy and corporations pay their fair share. Pay their fair share. Pay their fair share. That's basically the sound of the second hand on a clock before a bomb explodes. I'm talking about all of the people who work their butts off and do everything that they're supposed to do, only to be told by the people who don't pay as much into the system as they do that they're not paying their fair share. No, the top 1% pays their fair share. They pay actually even some of my fair share because I'm not in the top 1%. They pay everybody's fair share. I'll be real clear. This is America. I get it that some people get envious. I get it that there's a whole keeping up with the Joneses thing. But you know what's awesome about America is that most of the people in the top percent, according to the Wall Street Journal and according to Forbes, just within pieces that were published in the last 2.5 years, the top 1% of America, it's all new money. It's all new money from entrepreneurs, people who did not come from money, people who most of them started from nothing, very humble beginnings, but they put the time in, they put the sweat equity in, they had the hours, they had the stress, they did everything, and they built something that is amazing. And it is at the height of anti-Americanism to hold success against people who have earned it. It is the height of anti-Americanism to not celebrate and reward a meritocracy. It is the height of anti-Americanism to force people. You say that these people, they want to drive God out of school, but then they pretend to want God in the government by saying that you should be a good steward of your fellow man, but at least God gives free will, whereas Uncle Sam doesn't. It's the height of anti-Americanism. So for anyone out there to say that these people do not pay their fair share, they have, ladies and gentlemen, for the past century, in fact, since the inception of the income tax, which is blatantly unconstitutional and entirely theft. If you teach your child one thing before they leave home and go to college, teach them that taxation is theft and Jesus loves them. Two things, maybe not in the right order, but that's all they need to know. The one thing is that these people, since the inception of the income tax, have been paying your fair share, my fair share, Joe's fair share, Hunter's fair share, everybody's fair share, including all of Hunter's babies' mamas, all their fair shares. They've been paying all of it this entire time. So maybe government should spend less and stop the emotional abuse and browbeating of the people who have been financing this garbage for as long as they have. And scene. It's nothing makes me angrier than this, except when people wait till the last minute and don't. You know, I'm telling you, few things make me angrier. Few things. So, no. This is about you pay your fair share. And I've noted this before. The top 1% pays more in tax than the bottom 90% combined. And I'm glad that people can turn into the 1% because everybody can. When I look at these people who are considered the 1% in the United States, these people did not come from, they came from meagerness, folks. There is this idea of inherited wealth isn't even actually really a thing in America. In fact, Alexis de Tocqueville, when he came in writing about why the American Revolution was so different from the French Revolution, why the outcomes were so different, one of the things that he noted is that the American way of life is actually set up to be in opposition of generational wealth, inherited wealth, whereas in Europe, everything is designed to protect it. And that has created that insatiable desire to push forward, to create, to invent, to invigorate, to be entrepreneurs, to have that spirit. That's part of the American DNA. And that's why people love America, because they can come here and they can create something from nothing and then be considered part of the 1%. That's what's amazing. And to sit here and browbeat people, well, they need to pay their fair share. Maybe you need to spend less, pimp. Maybe you need to spend less money. Has that ever been a consideration for any of these people in government? Maybe spend less money. Spend less. Maybe live within your Article 1, Section 8 means. God bless America. We have a lot more on the way, including a couple of things. Just to let you know what else we got coming up. Latest, as well as it relates to, I wanted to talk about that Colonial Pipeline, that seizure. We're also going to talk about the IRS. Can you believe, now what are they trying to shame people? Mm-hmm. And the IRS releasing this IRS money? And here's the other thing. I don't care if people pay or get out of paying the IRS. I don't care if they find ways to avoid the income tax. I don't care if they're millionaires and they do it. Taxation is theft. You either believe it or you don't. I believe in a graduated, if the government can't live within its Article 1, Section 8 means, which if they did, by the way, then we would have a surplus instead of being running in the red and China wouldn't own as much debt as they do. But if we literally, if we had an Article 1, Section 8 government where we didn't have all this wasteful spending, we'd have a surplus. That's number one. Number two, if the government cannot be prevailed upon because the voters are lazy, and I'm indicting every single one of us, if they can't be prevailed upon to live within their Article 1, Section 8 means, then you know what? Then have a graduated sales tax. That way everybody pays something in as to how they can. But this income taxation is absolute and total theft. Property tax is also ridiculousness. We need to find a different way to be able to support law enforcement and all of that, as opposed to making it to where you can never really own your own property. So we got the latest with some national security issues. Capitalism leaves Hong Kong. I'm going to share with you one of the most startling articles that you haven't heard anywhere else. And you definitely haven't heard anyone on cable news or network news talking about it. Not in this depth. Wait until you hear. We keep having discussions about how bad it is in Hong Kong. Wait until you hear how really bad it is in Hong Kong.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure you sign up for that newsletter, chapter and verse. I got a piece coming at you. This ridiculousness with Biden erasing women, which we're going to talk about coming up. Because if you think that taxation, which it does, which is theft, makes me mad, wait until you hear about this with the progressive patriarchy. Oh, my goodness. We're going to get sassy. So we'll have that coming up for you. Also, culture war. Now, I don't care. If a business owner has a personal belief, if I want your product, it's a good product, and you're not preaching to me about your politics or anything else, I'm not one of those people who can't separate. You know, this is why I'm a limited government person. It's why I believe as I do. I'm not one of those people that can't separate issues from a person. So it's never bothered me, and not just because, you know, I'm a very, very imperfect person of faith, but it is. No, it's not about, I don't care if Dan Cathy goes to church. I don't even care if Dan Cathy was in a cult. Dan Cathy has said stuff before that I don't believe or I don't agree with. Like when he was kind of not really bending a knee, but trying to, in a weird kind of way, like conflating politics with some of the doctrine stuff when he was like in the early days of BLM. You know, I didn't, you know, really wasn't really, you know, down with it. But it's not going to stop me from going and buying a chicken sandwich. So Burger King, apparently they got a new ad guy who's either like 5 years old or he's been under a rock this entire time. And I'm assuming it's a he because, you know, everything is a he for progressives. So I was looking at this. Burger King tried to go at Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A isn't open on Sundays. And Burger King on social media thinks that they're Wendy's. Y'all know Savage is Wendy's on social media. Stop it. We're going to talk about that as well, because I feel like their ad guy just, you know, this is like people have been freaking out over Dan Cathy going to church on his own time for over 10 years now. At some point, it gets old. Stick with us.
After Colonial Pipeline's quick notification to law enforcement and pursuant to a seizure warrant issued by the United States District Court for the Northern District of California earlier today, the Department of Justice has found and recaptured the majority of the ransom Colonial paid to the Dark Side Network in the wake of last month's ransomware attack.
But there's no arrests.
Ransomware attacks.
So this is DOJ's Lisa Monaco. She's there. They're all excited. They're like, yes.
But when they target,
they got the majority of her of the Colonial Pipeline ransom. They got it back. But there's no arrest. My friend Andy McCarthy has a really good piece on this. By the way, welcome to the show. Welcome back, Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. So that's why I'm not super. I'm like, oh, that's great. They got the, you know. But still, it's not. I mean, there's still that incentive of all of these, for all of these entities, all of these criminal outfits to go and try to take advantage. But there's no arrest. And I think that's kind of the big thing. As I said, welcome back to the program. So this one, that was the Russian group, but there's been all kinds of, you know, we've talked about Chinese hacking, etc. I wanted to share this piece with you. It's Wall Street Journal. It's a fabulous piece. It will be in the prep email. It's great. Because it really gets into what it looks like in Hong Kong. And I say this because there's going to be international ramifications from this. You have China, after Britain turned over control, or administration rather, of Hong Kong to China. Now you have capitalism leaving China. Here's the headline from Wall Street Journal. Do we need to be in Hong Kong? Global companies are eyeing the exits. Buffeted up by political upheaval, a crackdown by mainland China, and the pandemic, global companies are heading for rival cities like Singapore and Shanghai. It's not really about the pandemic. It's because of the authoritarian crackdown from mainland China, from Beijing. They have that new national security law. This, you know, the world city of Asia, the open society with the British legal system, and the capitalism, which is so not what the rest of communist China has. Well, the prospects that they used to have, the openness that they used to have, now they're fused to Beijing. And we've seen this for a long time happening. We watched over the past, decade maybe, as that things kind of started moving this way, as Britain announced what they were going to do. And then since that time, in those, you know, few years since, you've watched all of these freedoms, these democratic freedoms that Hong Kong had, just disappear. Things went downhill fast when the Brits turned to control or administration back over to Beijing. And then you saw the protests in the streets with the pro-democracy movement. You saw leaders from Hong Kong stand up and say, we demand that Beijing honor its agreement. We demand that they honor their agreement to leave how Hong Kong practices and Hong Kong's traditions alone. And the crazy thing is that most of the people who were doing that are either disappeared or they're in jail. Or they're in jail, or they've had to leave. I mean, this... you have the or a lot of it. They said that they were they would restructure to do whatever they could to diminish anyone else's voice. I mean, quite frankly, I kept thinking that there's going to be heaven forbid, but they're going to have like a Tiananmen Square type response to some of the stuff in Hong Kong. I honestly think that China would have done that were it not for social media and how things can be streamed and get out so quickly. But there's not going to be any type of reform. You have private businesses, all these private companies that are leaving. In fact, this Wall Street Journal piece says apprehensive about Hong Kong's future as the best place to do business in China and beyond. Multinational firms are pulling up stakes, adding to uncertainty about the outlook for one of the world's premier commercial cities. Ever since the UK returned Hong Kong to China in 1997, the city leaders build the semi-autonomous territory as Asia's world city, an open society, a British-style legal system where foreign professionals could feel at home. It's not like that anymore. There are already a number of businesses, according to the Wall Street Journal, that have started. In fact, there was a survey of members of the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong released just last month. 42% of the 325 respondents said that they were considering or already planning to leave the city. They cited uneasiness over China's new security law and the pessimistic outlook on Hong Kong's future under communist control. Dozens of international companies have already moved headquarters since 2019, according to data. So far in Hong Kong, all of that has contributed to the highest rate of commercial real estate vacancies in over 15 years. More than 80% of the vacant space surrendered by international companies, according to data compiled by Cushman & Wakefield show. They said, all told, more people, expatriates and locals, departed the business hub in 2020 more than any year since the global financial crisis. VF Corp, owner of Timberland, North Face, which I hate, and other brands, said it was closing its 900-person Hong Kong office after 25 years. Sony Interactive, they moved their regional offices to Singapore. European luxury goods company, LVMH, those are the people who do Louis Vuitton. In fact, Salma Hayek's husband runs it. Said it was relocating their Hong Kong-based employees from their Moët Hennessy liqueur unit, because they also own that. L'Oreal is also relocating their staffers from Hong Kong. Now, they said that they're, I just don't see how they just, this just isn't, I agree with the second part of this piece here from Wall Street Journal. They had some people, and I think that they're Beijing mouthpieces, that were saying, oh yeah, once the pandemic lifts, the city's going to emerge stronger as its businesses profit from deeper integration with the mainland. You mean the communist parasite in Beijing? How is that possible? Realists see it as it's atrophying. And the only companies that will exist there anymore are those that Beijing finds useful. Hong Kong Commerce Secretary Edward Yaw said that the majority of foreign firms still believe that Hong Kong is the place for doing business, which, by the way, this is not at all supported by any of the statistics and data I just shared with you. So this, under China's long-term plan, they said Hong Kong is going to be part of a 70 million person Greater Bay Area economic zone. It's going to be swallowed up. It'll be part of like Macau, Shenzhen. And I don't see it. I mean, it's so incredibly sad. It's so sad to me. And it's just like it's just going to slowly, the life is just going to be sucked out of the city. Only those that are useful to the communists in Beijing will be allowed to leave. Carrie Lam, who is a commie puppet for Beijing, she'll be able to keep doing what she's doing, although they were very careful to restructure her any power she had to diminish her as much as possible. At some point, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're going to keep, you know, people are either going to have to leave, or they're going to get disappeared, or they're going to be thrown in jail. Who knows? But this was a society that was market and merit oriented, and it will no longer be such. It reminds me of Lord of the Rings, which I can take everything back to, when Galadriel, who was played by Cate Blanchett, is warning Gandalf that the land is falling under shadow. And that's what's happening in Hong Kong. Like Lord of the Rings, it's falling under shadow, the communist shadow, the specter from Beijing. And Hong Kong as a really very awesome, wondrous city is not going to be the same, because communism ruins everything. It ruins everything. I mean, I look at all the countries where communism has ever been implemented. First off, the death count is millions upon millions. But look at countries like Venezuela. Can you imagine if it was not run by a dictator like Maduro, if it wasn't a commie administration, if people had the ability to implement, real ability to implement reforms and have a democracy there, how rich that nation would be? Venezuela would be one of the richest nations in the world. with all the resources they have, the natural resources, my gosh. Look at Cuba. Cuba would be the destination, one of the destinations in the Caribbean. It's depressing. And it's also sad if you like, you know, if you have ever wanted to experience any of this type of stuff. Like when I was younger, I used to want to be an explorer. I wanted to be like a female Indiana Jones. And I actually, for a long time, I was like, maybe I'll go into archaeology and be like Indiana Jones before I realized that that's not what archaeologists actually do. Not like that, right? And then I actually realized this a little bit earlier because I was looking back at some of the past stories, like for instance, with Egypt and, you know, how they had the Green Revolution. And this was after the United States got involved under Obama Biden and they decided to try to help destabilize Egypt's government. And that's when they got behind the Muslim Brotherhood, which had been previously banned in Egypt, and Hillary Clinton endorsed them on behalf of Obama Biden. Do you all remember that? Literally brought them back from the brink. They were banned. And the Obama-Biden administration sent Hillary Clinton during her tenure as Secretary of State to endorse them. This was right around the same time that she was involved in getting in there to destabilize Libya because they're warmongering nation builders. And I was shocked, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and before him and his wife really settled down and they traveled quite a bit. They used to travel before they had kids quite a bit during summers. And they always wanted to go to Egypt. They're like, it's just beautiful. And now, you know, it's just not, you know, everybody was like, no, not with all this stuff happening. And you see this giant, the authoritarian fist just coming down on everything. That's what I see. When I see people with the resist fist, that has been used throughout, I mean, the modern ages as the symbol of authoritarianism. Whether it's the commies in Russia, whether it's in China, whether it's the American Marxism here, it's always been a symbol of tyranny. It's the giant fist that you think is being raised in power, but it's actually just rearing up to smack you down. That's what it is. But this is so depressing about Hong Kong. Also depressing, Joe Biden's erasure of women, which we're going to talk about. I hope third wave feminists are happy. Then we're going to get into the culture war of that chicken sandwich. It's so stupid. And we got a lot of other stuff to get into. But I had to share this piece with you from the Wall Street Journal. And if you've signed up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, you will get this. You need to read the piece. I know it's depressing, but you need to read it to fully understand exactly what they're facing, because a few headlines here or there doesn't actually share the full scope with you as to how bleak it's getting. The office vacancies, that's something else. I mean, a vibrancy is just being completely dimmed. Awful. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities, send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Woo-hoo-hoo. All right, so I'm like made of headlines right now. I found like 1,000 more just while we were on break. So some of the ones that I also wanted to get to from previously, because we were running out of time because I wouldn't shut up. This, let me pull this up. I have a thing with public pools. This is why. I'm really sorry. I know it's lunchtime, but I have to. That's why I'm being super slow with my words right now. This was Argus leader Harris Park Family Aquatic Center is closed following a massive diarrhea incident. Oh. Yeah. Oh. So the whole aquatic center here in Sioux Falls was closed because I don't know how bad it was. The adjectives are suggest large, because this was the quote from the press release. I quote, "An incident of this nature requires implementation of a disinfection process that requires maintaining elevated levels of chlorine for a period of 25 hours before reopening to the public." Like, all of the comments about this suggest that it was... Did someone explode? I mean, I just don't... I mean, like, literally, did they... So, I have... That's a whole other story for another time, because I have serious issues with things like that. Let's see. I mentioned this. I ran out of time for this yesterday, but I'm fascinated with this. Humans have an untapped ability, apparently, to regenerate body parts like salamanders. So these scientists have been, I don't want to know anything about their experiments. They've been looking at Mexican salamanders, which are all but extinct in the wild, as a champion of regeneration. And so the MDI Biological Laboratory in Bar Harbor, Maine, was studying the unusual amphibian abilities, and they concluded that humans have an untapped ability to regenerate. They said that they were talking about scarring and scar tissues specifically. So, like, if you cut your finger off, are you going to grow like a nubbin on your hand? I'm curious. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Let us recommit our efforts and support to ensure that every birthing person across this nation is empowered and feels safe.
We have not created infrastructure to support birthing people.
All pregnant and birthing people deserve to be treated with love. Birthing while Black should not be a death sentence.
Health equity for Black birthing people is attainable.
Mothers and babies and Black birthing people are important.
We desperately need long-term fixes to support the healthcare needs of Black women and birthing people.
The most marginalized Black and Indigenous birthing people.
To systemically shift the way we approach health care for birthing people of color.
And respectful of Black women and birthing people.
Birthing people. Remember all of that? Like, it was all birth. This was over Mother's Day when they tried this. Welcome back to the show, danalash.com. Do you remember that? This was over Mother's Day when they were doing the whole birthing people thing to this, like, anti-science garbage. Welcome back to the show, as I said. I'm writing a piece about this, but there's two things that make me mad. Taxation is theft, income tax, and then doing this stuff. Why is it, though, that women that have to be called birthing people, before I jump into this? Because why is this not something that is attributed to dudes? Fertilizer people, I don't know. Birthing person, fertilizer person, I don't know. Is that, you don't hear that phrase being used for men.
What's so horrible, though, about saying mother or about saying woman?
I don't know.
What is it?
Now, this is, so you have the multi-trillion dollar 2022 proposal, right, from Joe Biden for his budget. And his budget actually includes the phrase, well, they replaced mother or women with birthing people. It writes, quote, This is actually in the budget. This is what the government has in the budget. The United States has the highest maternal mortality rate amongst developed nations, with an unacceptably high mortality rate for Black, American Indian, Alaska Native, and other women of color. And then they used the terms maternal, and then they said women of color, and then they immediately started talking about birthing people. So you have Biden's, he's to help end this high rate of maternal mortality and race-based disparities and outcomes amongst birthing people. Birthing people, birthing people, birthing people. Now, you first heard it, what is it, Carolyn Maloney, who is a part of the House Oversight Committee, she used it for equity for birthing people or whatever. NARAL talks about birthing people. Cori Bush talked about birthing people. They were all doing this over Mother's Day. So now you have the President of the United States in the budget using the phrase birthing people in the budget. Birthing people. This is sexist as all hail. H-I-I-L. This is. It's erasing women. This erases women. I'm trying not to get too specific, but whew, man, we did not go, ladies, we did not go through all we went through as mothers to be called birthing people, did we? I know I didn't. Did you? And for Men I Love You, you know that. Not the progressive ones. But it's a progressive man who is doing this. Third wave feminism, which is not about equality. It's about actually the demotion of men. You had first wave feminism, and that's when just women were just trying to get rights. I get it. And then now you got third wave, where it's a cottage industry, where every woman who doesn't get free everything acts like she's being denied it. Oh, I have to spend $9 a month to go get my own birth control from the government, which insurance covers it for all health purposes anyway. And I know this as a woman because it has been offered to me by my insurance. I've seen it in my insurance, how it's covered. It's just, if you're going to you could go do something recreationally, you got to pay your own way, right? I mean, isn't that what an empowered woman does? Oh, but it's only situationally empowered. Okay, I get it. No, third wave feminism is about giving women special entitlements that make them unequal to men, but in a more advantageous position. That's what it's about. But you have a progressive male who is removing the word women and talking about birthing people in the budget. In the budget. And that, to me, it makes it really clear. Do women matter? Doesn't it take away also the accomplishment of the vice president for being the first birthing person? If they are just a birthing person, then doesn't matter, right? Don't even need to make a big deal out of it. If they're just birthing people and it's all just, you know, fantasy, then why even have protections for women? You don't need maternity care, ladies. You're just birthing people. You don't need all that covered maternity care. It's not inclusive. You're just birthing people. You don't need protection for sex attacks or any kind of special consideration or laws regulating such, and for penalties. You're just birthing people. Doesn't matter, right? Now you see. You're just birthing people. This has been going on for a long time, particularly in culture. Remember, they tried to cancel J.K. Rowling, who's uncancelable because she has more money than the Pope. And she had just said one time, and this was over a company that actually used the phrase birthing person. She's like, what did we call them? Women? And they said that she was a TERF, which is a sexist slur. TERF stands for trans exclusionary radical feminist. And it's what men call women when women do not cede to the patriarchy their identifier and their recognition of gender.
Now, yes, wait a minute. Wouldn't calling birthing people be a TERF comment? Because what you're doing is you're excluding those men who feel as they're women because they're clearly not birthing people. They can't give birth to anything.
How do you know they can't give birth?
Because science.
That's so bigoted.
Complete
science is bigoted.
Prostates
bigoted.
Don't do that.
Bigoted.
Bigot. I'm just guessing that by saying birthing people, you're actually excluding all the transgender women that believe they're women, even though they're biologically men. So is the Biden administration a TERF administration?
The whole TERF thing, it is so sexist. I had at one point there was a, and I don't care how people identify, you're not going to control my pronouns and you're not going to erase my existence. I mean, I know that there are, and because the coalition is so broad, there are people who are dudes who identify as women, and they're also very limited government. And I know a few of individuals who identify this way, and they're very big on 2A rights too. I never had any problem with anybody until somebody tries to erase my existence as a woman or tells me what pronouns I'm supposed to use. When you try to order me around as to how I'm going to speak, that is not going to end well for you. Oh, I promise you that will not end well for you. I was raised by some pretty mean women. I mean, they're very loving, but they will cut you. I mean, I was raised by a whole herd of them. So, you know, I'm just saying, it will not end well for you. Tell me how to speak. A man tell me what kind of pronouns to use. You will walk away limping. You'll pull back a stump, right? In more ways than one. It just, the whole thing's infuriating. Because it does, yeah, well, I know, according to our last headline, a studying of Mexican salamanders, that stump may grow back like a starfish. But the whole thing is so, it's just so ridiculously, it's just so dumb. Also dumb, I want to make sure that I share this with you. I can't believe, it's a chicken sandwich. I don't know why people get this why do people still get this worked up over a chicken sandwich? So Burger King was out there tweeting because they think they're Wendy's. They've been trolling Chick-fil-A. They have a new campaign where they're vowing donations to LGBTQ groups for every chicken sandwich that they sell on Sundays. Dan Cathy, who I don't even agree with all the time, he owns, the Cathy family owns Chick-fil-A. They built it from nothing, right? And I always said that if there's a problem with anything, like the problem with when we were without power for a week, Texas's electric grid, just get the Chick-fil-A people to come out and do it. And if you ever try to, have you ever, I'm not saying I did this, but if you've ever tried to drive away before they can say my pleasure, it gets said somehow magically. It doesn't happen. I'm pretty sure that it is just drilled into them that you are not allowed to let anybody go without saying my pleasure. My pleasure to help you. My pleasure. Like the nicest people ever. The spicy chicken sandwiches is my jam. I could live on that spicy chicken. If I had to eat one meal for the rest of my life, it'd either be hot wings or a spicy chicken sandwich. I love spicy food. Oh, I think. Maybe some enchiladas. Or maybe Kane's mom's tamales. I don't know yet. Maybe your mom's tamales.
It's her birthday today, too, by the way.
Happy birthday, Kane's mom.
Yeah.
We love Mama Kane.
Yeah.
But this, so Burger King, they said 40 cents for every sale of their new chicken sandwich. Well, first off, Chick-fil-A donates more than that.
Right.
They donate more than that, BK. FYI. And their burgers don't taste like they were warmed up by placing them between someone's butt cheeks. Just saying. Was that too specific for you? You know I'm right. Have you ever seen them? Have you ever seen them Burger King burgers in a commercial? I say this as somebody who after school, we had like maybe 40 minutes, right? Before we had track, practice, or whatever. And there was a Burger King that was adjacent to the parking lot of our school. I mean, we would haul over there. We'd be running, go up there, and we'd get, because it was the only, we were starving because we were, I was super athletic in school, and went up and I would just, you know, it was the only thing close that we could get. And I'd get, you know, the sandwich, but the burger, the bun was always flat. It never looked anything like it did in the ads. Chick-fil-A looks like they just made the sandwich for the ad and then took a picture of it and then handed it to you. Have you noticed that? I never get no smash bun at Chick-fil-A because
right.
I look at that stuff. But I'm just saying. So anyway, they go Chick-fil-A. They have a reputation of being anti-LGBTQ. Dan Cathy goes to church and he's a Christian. Why do you all have to sit here and freak out? This has been an ongoing outrage for the left for over 10 years. Still? Y'all still mad? Because it's actually the opposite. And they donate more to charity and do more for charity than Burger King's. Like, I guess we'll do 40 cents for every sandwich sold. And we're going to sell them on Sundays as though that's like a cut down. At that point, they're not going after Chick-fil-A. They're mocking Christians and they're mocking businesses that stay closed on Sunday. Not because they're being controlling, but because biblically, Sunday was about making sure that you just took time off. It's not about you're grounded. It's about take time off and relax. Build yourself up. The first day of the week you are given and you get to relax. You get to take that first day and relax from work. First day of the week. And so there and it just shows I think Chick-fil-A cares about their employees. Whereas Burger King's like, nope, we're gonna sell them on Sunday, you know, because we care so much. But I just like, is their ad guy new? Like, I want to know who came up with this idea. Was this dude living under a rock or this broad living under a rock for the past like 15 years now? Because this has been an hour. Nobody even cares anymore.
Not to mention when you compare the chicken sandwiches to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but Burger King doesn't even weigh in.
One of I have two friends. One of my friends, his name's Bruce. He is a gay conservative. And he did this whole video where he tried to, just mocking the left, where he acted like he was barred from going into a Chick-fil-A because of chickens that shoot lasers out of their eyes. And it was absolutely hysterical. And by the way, every time that they would shoot the lasers out of their eyes, they would make that sound, like the chicken sound. Oh my gosh, they'd cluck. It's hysterical. But I just don't, this just seems like stupid for Burger King to do. What's the point of this? Right? I mean, this is just a stupid marketing gimmick that seems incredibly disrespectful. So coming up, several things. First off, Maya Wiley, who is one of the candidates for mayor, they have a picture of her leaving her $3 million house in a super, super fancy part of Brooklyn. And she's got her private security all around her. She's the one who wants to take $1 billion away from the police there and spend $18 million of it on therapy for criminals. Maybe like the criminal that was caught on video trying to rape a woman in broad daylight in Midtown, Manhattan. Anyway, we're going to get into all of that stuff as well. We still have a lot of stuff to talk about. And then Mara Gray on MSNBC, she was so offended by all the American flags that she saw on Long Island last weekend. Girlfriend, you're free to leave. You know, you don't have to stay here. Ain't nobody making you stay. So we're going to get into all of that and more.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, man, I want to catch this dude. Just give me. I only need like 2 minutes in a locked room with him. I'm not locked in there with him. He'd be locked in there with me. This is Gifford, Florida. A deputy. Thank heavens for this Florida deputy. So this guy was running away from law enforcement, right? This is from CBS 12. He was running away from law enforcement in Indian County. John Henry James, 32. He's facing multiple counts of aggravated child abuse, reckless driving, all kinds of stuff. Resisting with violence, aggravated battery. I mean, a number of charges. Too long for me to read. What ended up happening is that, and this is Indian County Deputy Jacob Kirby, who is being hailed as the hero. This guy, he's doing a 40-minute police chase, right? Gifford sped off during a traffic stop. He drove through a parking lot of a complex where officers boxed him in. He gets out of the vehicle, grabs a two-month-old baby boy from the back seat, throws him across the parking lot at the deputy. Yeah. Thank heavens this deputy caught that baby. He caught the baby. James tried getting away. Deputies caught him. And I love the way that Sheriff Eric Flowers, this is a legitimate quote from him. This is literally a quote from him, and I'm dying right now. He goes, quote, "You can't throw a baby at us and expect us to treat you with kid gloves." Oh, my gosh. I'm sure the mom probably wants to get him. But I mean, I will, you know, Florida taxpayer, I'll fly myself down there.
There's going to be prison justice for this guy.
Prison justice. See, this is when I'm like, I feel like some of those guys who carry out that prison justice ought to get reduced time. I'm just saying. Or maybe like, you know, at the commissary, just get them some extra, some perks. Because there's something to be, prison justice does not like child abusers. They will not tolerate you. They will not tolerate you. Put him in gin pop. Let everybody know what he did. And then anybody who, you know, happens to carry anything out, just reduce time. Give him some, you know, perks. I'm just saying. Just saying. That's me. That's how I look at stuff. All right. So I had more to come, but I spent so much time on that story. I had the other, like a guy who decided to hit a fire engine with a baseball bat, literally runs in the middle of it. And I'm pretty sure the guy's wearing leggings. So I'm going to save this one for tomorrow because I need to show that photo on the simulcast. I'm pretty sure he's in white leggings, a man in white leggings. Stay with us.
What the vice president was simply conveying is that there's more work to be done, that we don't have these systems in place yet. It's still a dangerous journey, as we've said many times from here and from many forums before. And we need more time to get the work done to ensure that asylum processing is where it should be.
No. There, it's Jen Psaki. Kane's already tossing shade. Yeah, there. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. What is it? What is it? You're just over there.
I mean, they act like they haven't had a lot of time to set up these systems. They haven't had, they literally created this problem. And now they're like, well, we just don't have the systems in place. You should have thought about that before you said the crap you said that is making everyone come here.
Yeah, well.
So that's
true story.
Sorry, that's
true story. True story. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's Tuesday, DanaLash.com. Subscribe, chapter and verse. Don't forget, no apologies on the first, 5 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. I had to think for just a second. And I'm going to be joining, I think, Sean Hannity this evening. I'll let you know details on that when I get all that situated. I have no idea as to what time that will be. I mean, obviously within his hour. But a few things to touch on here to get that set up. We're going to be talking with my friend Liz Wheeler coming up later on, bottom of the hour. I like Liz. I don't like a lot of people. I like Liz. Liz is good people. So this, I'm trying to, there's a couple things I want to touch on. I'm watching this thing here. This is Attorney General Dave Yost. And this is in Ohio. So Ohio went to court today to have Google searches, Google's search engine declared a common carrier slash public utility under Ohio law because they, you know, they're accused, Google's accused of allowing search results to improperly favor its own businesses, right? So I get it. When you own the railroad, everybody who wants to pay and can pay gets to ride. That's kind of interesting. I'm intrigued by that, but at the same time, I get pretty capital L libertarian with businesses, and this is where I struggle so hard. It would be so much easier for me to be like, you know what, that's right, let's do that, and then just be done with it. But then here's how I think: where is that going to come back and bite me later? At some point, it'll rear its head. When will it come back and bite me? When does that research? When does that come back?
Is this consistent with antitrust? Like, I mean, that's where I would fall if, you know, if we're having the conversation. I think this is more of an antitrust thing because clearly their search engines can favor right. certain businesses and favor certain entities. To me, that's kind of an unfair practice when you're talking about just a blanket search engine.
Right. No, I agree. I do agree with that. My husband and I we have a big debate in this house because we don't agree. I don't agree with everybody on everything, even in my husband. This is why I always say I don't. Whenever people are like, I can't believe you don't agree with such and such politician. Well, I don't even agree with my husband on everything. So one of the things that we are very opposite on is, and I'm not saying I am opposite on policy. I'm just saying on the recognition of the reality of this is antitrust. Because I believe, now I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just stating how I view it in my perspective as a pure capitalist. I think that antitrust it conflicts with capitalism. It's anti-capitalist. Now, by the very definition of capitalism and the very definition of antitrust, I mean, it does. So this is where I really struggle with stuff. Because he's like, well, it's not actually because X, Y, and Z. But then at the same time, and I'm trying not to go too into the weeds on this with you guys. Like I actually started this piece. The other day, and it got so in the weeds I put it to the side for a little bit because it's kind of a deep dive evergreen. But my argument that this is contradictory to capitalism also presupposes, or do you think it presupposes for that to be valid for the economic system in our country as it is to be purely capitalist? Because it's not. America does not have, we have a crony capitalistic, which is not capitalism. Whenever people blame capitalism for something, I'm like, that's actually not capitalism. Unfettered capitalism is not having these regulations that favor X, Y, and Z. So I don't know. We are totally, you were actually in here when we were going back and forth on it. At one point it came up and I said something and Chris disagreed. I'm like, actually, AC, K-S-H-U-L-L-Y, actually, no. So it's quite funny. But that's kind of how I view it.
I just think it'd be a more productive track to take than like the free speech track with these platforms.
Because I do agree.
It's more of a pocketbook thing.
Well, because I don't think that you can't use a free speech law as it relates to a private business. Right. Free speech law and censorship is specifically about government regulation. However, I do understand the argument that some of these entities are agents of the state and are used as agents of the state. So then how is that? This is where I my pretending to be a lawyer on air gets into the fuzzy area because, okay, how is that then dealt with?
And we've talked about on the show a bunch before. We don't want to get rid of Section 230. We just see reforms that actually identify these platforms as what they actually are.
Right. I just think that if you are manipulating anything, whether if you're editing anything, if you're curating anything, whether it's an algorithm or whatever, that's editorialization. And anything that counts as editorialization, and I'm not quite sure if it's been legally established as algorithms, the curation or editing of, or presentation, select presentation of algorithms would be legally defined as that. I think it needs to be if it hasn't been. But that's then you're not acting as a facilitator, because platform doesn't come up at all in 230. It's talking about the facilitation of a service or access to that service. That's all it is. And that all came about because people during the, you know, mid to late 90s were getting sued, website proprietors, for stupid stuff commenters were saying on their websites. And website proprietors did not want to be responsible for what commenters were saying in their comment sections. So that's what it was actually, ultimately, that's what kicked it off. That's what started it. So I just think that the editorialization, if you're editorializing anything, then you should not enjoy any kind of exemption from liability of unprotected speech. That's just all I'm saying. I don't want 230 to go away. I think that, and whether or not that's something that's legally defined by Section 230, or if that's something that's outside of it, I think would be a really good question that's, you know, maybe a tech lawyer could answer.
I just hate the fact that government protects these platforms, you know, as platforms, even though they're publishers, and they don't treat them the way that they should be treated, like we see happening with news outlets like CNN and New York Times, who are constantly being sued for the wrong things they're putting out there.
Right. I mean, I have to be careful with what I say, but I'm an editorialist. What's on my website is editorialization. What's on Substack is editorialization. Now, here's the cool thing. Substack is simply a facilitator. And they're very strict about how they are just a facilitator. Now, clearly, there's certain things that they don't allow. And that's completely A-okay with the law, which it should be. You know, illegal materials involving children and things like that. Absolutely not. Violence, you know, like actual, like fighting, as it would be called, fighting words, things are not, that are not protected speech, they'll get rid of. But they don't editorialize. They don't do that. It's based on the data. It's based on statistics. They are strictly a facilitator. And that's why a lot of people hate them. I remember when I first started at Substack, and which was the newsletter, and I moved over from MailChimp because MailChimp started canceling conservatives. And all of you, all the people who subscribe to it, the reason that I liked Substack is because they were defending their refusal to editorialize stuff. They're like, we're not doing that. We are giving people access. Like, this is, we're just simply facilitating this. That's all we do. We're not editorializing. We're not turning into a publication. We don't want to be a platform. You know, we just want to facilitate these conversations. And I appreciated that. That's all good things. So this is going to be very interesting to watch. But, and that antitrust thing, this is going to be, when it's going through, this is going to be a big deal, a massively big deal. A few other things. So 10 years ago, my friend Larry O'Connor reminded me of this. Larry and I have known each other for years, and we both worked for the late Andrew Breitbart. And I was doing radio when I began working for Andrew. I started radio in October of 2008. But it was just, I was only in St. Louis. And I remember this clear as day because, and I wrote about this in my book. Andrew wrote about this in his book as well. And obviously Andrew Breitbart, a lot of people, what's sad to me is, you know, because he passed away before the 2012 election. And that's so long ago for a lot of people who are now coming of age, and they don't even know him. They just don't. They know the website because of the last name, but they don't know him. And how involved he was with that. Like, this was a guy who thought a legitimate office space was this thing the offices were in LA, but they were in like this weird undistricted part of LA. And it was this weird building in an alley that actually used to be Master P's studio. And he thought that that's what an office building should be like, right? That's an office building, right? Just throw some desks and a ping pong table in there. But 10 years ago about this, actually a few days earlier, we were getting ready to go on our very first family vacation. And we were going to, the first time we went to Puerto Rico. And I was packing, I was super excited. The kids were super excited. And he sent me this picture of, I did not know what it was. And there was no context given, none. And I'm like, he's like, you need to look at your email right now. I look at my email and I'm turning my head every which way. I'm like, I can't tell what this is. And Chris comes in, looks over my shoulder, and he's like, oh, that's a schlong, is what he said. And I go, what? What? Why am I getting this? Well, it was Anthony Weiner's. This is why you don't, that's your last name, you don't do things involving that. And that's when Anthony Weiner was sending, you know, his pics his stick pics everywhere. And he had messed up, and instead of actually DMing this chick, he accidentally tweeted it publicly to everybody. And a lot of people out there saw it, and they were sending it to me and Andrew, and I was editing what was at the time the Vertical Big Journalism. And so we all got on the phone. It was me and Andrew and their attorney, and then some of the other editors got on, because there were five of us main editors, and wrote this story. And basically me writing this story was Andrew was on speakerphone yelling at things across the room while on his computer. And when anybody else would interject, it was him telling them to be quiet so he could get his train of thought back. It was hysterical. Somehow in that crazy chaos soup, we got the story out. And then Anthony Weiner accused Andrew and me of hacking him. I never got an apology for that. So, you know, the story kind of at that point, you know, in the next couple of days, it was still out there, but it wasn't, you know, as crazy. Went to Puerto Rico, coming back, catching my connection in Charlotte. And we're in the airport. And actually, it was weird, too, because Anthony Weiner had responded to it while we were in Puerto Rico. So I'm in Old San Juan. And, you know, I was telling everybody on break, I'm like, I'm, you know, popping in. I'm, you know, going to get, you know, like some rum and some mofongo, and I'm going to have, you know, like a quick snack. And, you know, we're looking at stuff. You know, we're having a great day. And then I hear like a crosstalk of different, you know, Puerto Rican commentators, and they're talking about the news. And I hear Anthony Weiner's name come up a million times. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's here. It's here in Puerto Rico. Get back in Charlotte. I was on a Wi-Fi-less flight. Get back in, turn my phone on. My phone's blowing up. Larry was one of the people texting me, blowing up. Because Andrew had wandered into Anthony Weiner's press conference. He was staying at a hotel down the street. And he thought he would just pop in and see what was happening. And then he ended up, when the reporters all realized he was there and they began tweeting it, they asked him if he would take some questions. So before Anthony Weiner came out, Andrew went up there on stage and took questions. So I'm running through trying to find an airport bar. And, you know, everybody has it on CNN. And there's Andrew at the press conference. And it was one of the most hysterical, serendipitous things I've ever seen. It was a riot. Yeah, it was a riot. And he was like, hello, I'm Andrew Breitbart. We all laughed so hard. I'll put Larry's piece in your prep because it's a good read. 10 years ago. Can you believe that? 10 years later. We never got the apology from getting hacked, I will say. So very, very, very fascinating.
Follow Dana on Twitter @DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This story is crazy. I remember I saw this live tweeted actually the other day, and I waited because I kept thinking there's no way this is real. Nobody would be stupid enough to do this. Well, yeah, they would be. Delta Flight 386 the other day from LA to Nashville was diverted to Albuquerque because a dude decided to try to storm the cockpit of this Delta flight while screaming, stop this plane, before they wrestled him to the ground and hogtied him with zip ties. Hero flight attendant and passengers there. Absolute heroes. There's all kinds of cell phone footage of this. But this dude and the flight attendant dude lifts, I can tell. He's like saved the plane. He grabbed this guy and boom, he just manhandled him. Oh, he handled him like you would handle a present that you're opening up on Christmas. Like he just, oh, that was awesome. So that guy was totally taken in, and they were diverted. Everybody was put on a new flight, I think like what, an hour and a half or so later. So a Massachusetts furniture store offers 60% off if you're vaccinated, or 10% off if you're vaccinated, 60% off if you're not. This is actually kind of funny. It's in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, Salvage Art and Furniture. And they have a post-COVID sale. They said if you had to get it to work, you get 40% off. If you wanted it, you only get 10% off. If you didn't get it, you get 60% off. It's actually funny. It's called the Funky Phoenix Owner, or Funky Phoenix is the store name. Oh my, that's actually kind of funny. I think it's funny. So there you go. Coming up, Liz Wheeler joins us. She has a new book that, kind of a new book. She's got a podcast, but she's got a book out too. Stick with us.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
part of the issue when this was first being reported on and discussed back a few months after the pandemic had begun was that then President Trump and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, both suggested they had seen evidence that this was formed in a lab, and they also suggested it was not released on purpose, but they refused to release the evidence showing what it was. And so because of that, that made this instantly political.
The problem of President Trump throughout the pandemic was because everything was so politicized.
You couldn't possibly even raise this idea without becoming some kind of a crazy, wacky Trumper who has, you know, spreading fake news.
Only when Trump's pandemic hoax, just a bad flu, too much testing is the problem, BS failed, and we were way behind on the fight against a deadly pandemic, they needed to distract China, a convenient target.
Donald Trump. Everything's Trump's fault. Had people talking about Donald Trump. I had to wait for Cuomo. Everything's Trump's fault. Which, by the way, sidebar to that, I saw a story this morning where it said, is cancel culture really real if the Cuomos haven't been canceled? No, that's the white progressive privilege. That's the privilege everyone talks about, which doesn't seem applicable to anyone else, particularly if they are of the conservative variety, I would say. So a lot of stuff to discuss. We were talking a little bit earlier about the president's budget. And of course, you know how the old president, everything was his fault. Joining us now is I don't know if I've actually ever had her on. I've been on with her. Yeah, she's got like a brand new venture that she's doing and very nice digs. We're going to talk about that. But my friend Liz Wheeler, birthing person Liz Wheeler, looks fantastic. She joins me now via technology. It's so good to have you, Liz. Good to see you. Congrats on the podcast. And I don't think I've ever, I think, yeah, we had you on to talk about the book, but yeah, exactly. But congrats. It's good to see you.
Thanks so much, Dana. It's so good to be here.
Birthing person, I have to ask you about this because this language was revealed in the $6 trillion budget yesterday. So here's my question. Why is it that women, we have to give up women or mother or mothering, but men, what? There's nothing for men. It's always the men who want to identify as women, but what do men give up? Why are women the one that, do we have to sacrifice how we recognize what our sex is?
You know, when I was in grammar school and we were going through the module on writing essays and vocabulary and being clear with your writing, we were taught that if there's a phrase that can be condensed into a very specific word, if the particular word is the most precise possible, that's what you should use. So I have a suggestion for the writers of this budget because it's so many pages of garbage. Why don't you condense the phrase birthing person into a more precise word, that word being woman?
That works perfect. I like that. Or like, mother as well. Mothering as well. That just, that just doesn't, we were talking about that and the whole taxation issue, but that I saw that and I forgot everything else that I was reading about in his budget because that I found was so offensive. If you're going to take my tax money, at least recognize that I'm a chick. Recognize that I'm a woman, that I am a girl, I'm a female, I'm not a birthing person. Because I pay my fair share, Liz, as I know you do as well, to be able to be recognized how we are scientifically.
Right. I mean, all jokes aside, in all seriousness, it's misogynistic of Biden too. And all of the different radical leftists, it's not just Biden who are using this phrase birthing person. It's misogynistic. It's anti-woman. This has been the foundational principle of radical feminism from the beginning. It's this self-loathing. They don't like being women. They're trying to ape men. They're trying to put aside the biological differences between men and women. They degrade the differences, make it seem like women are less because we are smaller and softer. And I say that tongue in cheek. Because there are biological differences, radical feminists don't like that.
Right,
they don't like that. So they've been trying to eliminate women from the very beginning by degrading the choice of some women to stay home, right? This is what I tell young women that I talk to all the time, that feminists didn't just say, listen, women should be able to choose whether they want to be stay-at-home moms or whether they want to have a career or some hybrid of both. No, radical feminists at the beginning shamed women who stayed home and said, you aren't reaching your potential. You are, your dignity and your value is worth how much the paycheck that you bring in is. So they actually degraded women's choice and told them there was only one acceptable choice. They've been trying to erase women for a long time now, and Joe Biden's just continuing that legacy.
Yeah, I remember Linda Hirschman, this was, I think, in the aughts, like the late aughts, had said at one point that women who are college educated, if they choose to stay home with their children, that they are, her phrase was, betraying their sex. It was a direct quote. And nobody knows who Linda Hirschman is anymore because...
So insulting.
Yeah, because it's insulting. And that's like such... I mean, if you want to have a discussion about bigoted sexist thinking, that would be it completely. I have to get your reaction, too. We played this mashup, this montage of sound bites as we were coming in. We're talking to Liz Wheeler. She has a new podcast, by the way, LizWheelerShow.com. And that now it's apparently Trump's fault somehow. Somehow it's got to be Trump's fault. Because the media was unable, Liz, to investigate this lab leak theory, which honestly doesn't seem like a theory anymore, especially when you read all of the conclusions from all of these world-renowned scientists, virologists, microbiologists, who say there's a definite fingerprint here. There's something that is not natural within natural evolution. But now apparently it's somehow Trump's fault that the press wasn't, nobody stopped them from investigating this. Wasn't it? I mean, Liz, I'm old enough to remember when the press said it was bigoted to even question so much as a relationship between the Wuhan Institute of Virology and this pandemic. So now why is this Trump's fault? Confused.
Well, everything in the world and in the history of the world, even before Trump, is Trump's fault, just so we can fully understand the leftist thinking here. Everything bad that's ever happened to mankind, Trump's fault. If we just can get on board with that, we'll understand the world better. But I have an idea. Let's look at Dr. Fauci's own words in his emails to determine whether or not he was allowed to talk about this publicly or whether the Trump administration somehow shut down his discussion. Well, a woman emailed him at one point and asked him, or made a comment. She made a comment in her email asking him to tell her the truth because she claimed the vice president, who was, of course, in charge of the White House coronavirus task force, she claimed the vice president was stifling him and preventing him from saying what he wanted to say in public. He corrected this woman in his response to her email saying, actually, I've never been stifled at all. I'm allowed to say whatever I say, and I go on TV and I say whatever I want to say. So when the press is making this claim, Dr. Fauci's countering the claim, and they claim that Fauci's God and always tells the truth. So I would love to hear some justification of that.
Yeah, he was obviously telling the truth there. He was being very honest about it. And I guess now that they don't want to listen to him with us. So that's really honestly the big problem looking at foreign policy and looking at China's involvement in this, because we're dealing with a geopolitical threat. Even though I know that the previous administration to former President Trump's administration did not think so. Joe Biden, though, he's getting ready to meet with Putin. They're kind of mocking him. So, you know, so much getting ahead of preparing for this meeting. I know in China, they've kind of been doing the same. They are mad. They've expressed anger because some senators have gone to Taiwan to establish or have their regular meetings ahead of, you know, the normal trade relationship that we enjoy with Taiwan. But I'm looking at a couple of different articles that get into how would Joe Biden even react if, yes, the United States has to officially conclude that this was a lab leak and the malicious way in which China handled it, assuming the worst, saying it was a bioweapon. Honestly, Liz, this administration couldn't handle it. I don't even know what their response would be.
Well, we're already hearing Dr. Fauci peddling what the response would be. He's setting the stage for what the narrative of the Biden administration is going to be. And his narrative is, well, it's important to do a thorough investigation to find out what the origin is so that we can prevent it the next time. So basically, that's literally, and mark my words, this will be the narrative of the Biden-Harris administration, that it's important to know so that we can prevent it next time. They're going to paint it as a huge accident. And Dana, do you know what's going to happen? Suddenly, this pandemic is going to be over because the only narrative, the only stories that people are going to care about are going to be Fauci's corruption, the gain of function experimentation that our tax money funded, the cover up that was staged by Fauci and his ilk, the anti-science rhetoric coming from the scientific community, and Biden's complicity in all of this. So like this, all of a sudden, the pandemic's going to be over and we're going to be on to the next thing because it's not advantageous to them anymore.
No, not at all anymore. And yet I liked what Trump said the other day when he said, well, China actually owes us reparations. If we're going to have a discussion about reparations, China owes us money for all of the damage that they've done, not just to the United States, but to the rest of the world. Liz, I think a year of life that kids have lost, I people who were not able to be with their loved ones when they passed away, though a family, I think of just there's so many people who sacrificed so much in this past year and a half. And at the very least, we should be able to obtain from our government that we fund some kind of clear and concise answer as to how this happened so that we can avoid it again. But the press and it really does seem like the administration now treats it as though the only reason that we're interested in learning why and the hows is because we want to get even. I think that's kind of a projection on their part, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't trust the government to tell me the truth at this point. They've spent the last year and a half lying to us all. I think the only way we're going to find out the truth is if we do what we do, and that is investigate the truth. If we get these emails from FOIA, like so many people, not even right-wing people did. I mean, some of these emails were obtained by BuzzFeed and the Washington Post, not what you would describe as your right-wing outlets or sympathetic to President Trump or anti-Biden or any of the above. We're going to have to investigate it, but we have to make sure that people understand. You and I and a small fraction of other people have been saying these things for the past year, over a year and a half now. You and I and a small fraction, a small group of other people have said from the beginning, huh, this looks like it might have been a lab leak. Huh, the science shows that there's a sequence in the genome that shows that it's manipulated. The science shows masks don't work. The science shows lockdowns don't work. Not even taking into account whether government officials have a right to do that to us. It's simply practically, scientifically doesn't work. And we're being vindicated time and time again. So the American people should realize your politicians and your public health officials, they have been leading you down a path of lies. And you should listen to the journalists and the commentators who've been showing you the facts and showing you the evidence that proves that the facts are true.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree with that. Now, we were cast as bigots and xenophobes and racist and whatever ist, whatever they wanted to attach to it, simply because we were questioning the absolute obvious. I mean, it's like Occam's razor here. I mean, it was so incredibly obvious, and that you can't even have a question about this is what happened to genuine general inquisitiveness, curiosity, the freedom to ask a question and just engage in an honest clash of ideas and to pose a hypothesis. You know, Liz, the thing that really floored me, I mean, there was a lot that really floored me with not just the Vanity Fair piece and Fauci's emails, but particularly the Vanity Fair piece, was Robert Redfield, who said that he had received death threats, not from Twitter trolls or YouTube commenters or anyone else, but other scientists, simply because he was proposing a hypothesis. So now our Twitter trolls are the scientists that are making determinations about serious issues like this. That was terrifying to me. Other scientists. He's like, I expected it from politicians, but not other scientists. My mind's blown. That's terrifying.
Well, it's actually like a reverse, right? Where the people on Twitter, Twitter trolls, if you will, are the ones who are doing the actual science, the actual journalism, the actual reporting. And the scientists and the reporters are peddling garbage up to the point, as you said, of issuing threats here. It's remarkable. I mean, it just reminds me, and I don't think anybody feels comfortable in the position, but it just reminds me that no matter what kind of institution or position of authority is giving you guidance or giving you rules or telling you something is fact, you have to question that. You have to question them as a person. You have to question their motives. You have to question professional organizations. You have to even question science, because science is corrupted by ideology and politics, including studies and people who organize articles to be published in journals because they want to cover their own of funding from the NIH all the way to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You have to question everything.
It's good. We should be healthy skeptics. That's how it was supposed to be in the first place. Last thing for you, Liz, you have a new podcast, and I was making sure that I had, because I have it down here. I already scrolled because I was looking at this other article, LizWheelerShow.com. I think that now our new legacy press, our fourth estate and the fifth pillar would say that you're just misinformation. But honestly, that's one of the reasons why digital media has been so successful and there are so many people in it, because the people that we used to invite to our homes to share with us information as to what our government was doing, as you just were talking about, they can't be trusted. I mean, neither can our government, but the people that are supposed to be the watchdogs for it can't be trusted either. So tell me real quick about your new podcast, and congrats on that, because I know everybody watched you and got introduced to you on OAN. Now you're going to the next level. You're doing your own thing. Tell us a little bit about that and what they can expect.
Yeah, definitely. So everyone can find the show at LizWheelerShow.com. It's available on all podcast platforms. I encourage you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts because that helps us move up the charts, which helps more people discover us, which helps more people hear reality. In regards to the misinformation claim, I always say, if there's an error that I've made, let me know and I'll retract that. But if you're going to claim that I'm lying, you show me proof very specifically what you're talking about, because you can't. The only thing that you can do is you can issue fake fact checks like Facebook does, and everybody knows that those are lies. Everybody knows that I'm just presenting reality in a concise, in a blunt, in an unapologetic way. That's what we're going to do on the podcast. We're also going to provide action items, because so often I think conservatives tend to whine amongst themselves about the assault the radical left is levying on our nation, but they don't give action items for other people. What can we do in between casting our ballot every 2 or every 4 years? I provide action items on how to fight back on these cultural wars so that we can win once we get to the actual political realm. So please subscribe. I appreciate when you do, and let me know what you think.
There you go, right there. More voices, not fewer voices. Liz Wheeler, LizWheelerShow.com. Good to see you. It's good to see you. I'm glad you were able to join me, and I'll talk with you again soon. I know I'll see you on Twitter.
Thanks so much, Dana. I appreciate it.
Of course. Take care.
It's the Dana Show.
Do not forget, no apologies on the 1st, 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. I'll also be on Hannity tonight. Kane, today in stupidity.
Mara Gay of MSNBC doesn't feel great about the American flag for some reason.
Continue. I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags. And some cases, just dozens of American flags.
Oh, how dare they? How dare they fly?
I couldn't believe they were American flags. Oh, my gosh.
Free speech is pesky, isn't it?
Go, girl. I mean, ain't nobody making you stay nowhere.
That free speech is pesky.
A free speech, though. Make sure you go subscribe to that newsletter, Chapter and Verse, over at Substack. And tomorrow, Wednesday, we have even more stuff to go through with you all tomorrow. And I'll also include our interviews, too. I'll throw a link of that in to the prep newsletter that y'all get. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.